Good evening, UEF, and welcome to our evening service. I trust that even though we cannot meet together this evening, that this word would be a blessing to you this evening. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have this opportunity, Lord, even though we are not together, Lord, but in our own individual homes. I thank you that we are able to sit under your word, Father. I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to hear your truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine that you are on a journey. You are traveling on foot from one destination to another. The journey is a long several days of walking through the sweltering heat of the day and the chilling cold of the night. It is a difficult journey. The road is hard and dangerous, mountainous paths full of sharp rocks and deep crevices. It is easy to stumble, to slip, and to fall. Along the way, you may have to contend with predators on the prowl and poisonous creepers crawling along the ground. Furthermore, gangs of robbers and bandits hide in caves and behind rocks, waiting to pounce on the unsuspecting passerby. This journey is long, hard, and dangerous. This was the situation for the speaker in Psalm 121. Psalm 120 to 134 forms a group of psalms known as the Songs of Ascents. Now, there are many theories about what the purpose of these psalms was. But one of the more likely theories is that these were songs for pilgrims who were on their way to Jerusalem for the yearly festivals. They would sing these, whether individually or in groups, as they were making their way up to Jerusalem. And in fact, the trajectory of these 15 psalms seems to picture that journey. In Psalm 120, the psalmist is in distress because he lives in Meshech and Kedar, which were Gentile lands far away from Jerusalem. You see, his distress comes from being an alien dwelling amongst immoral and idolatrous people. Fast track to Psalm 134, a short psalm that praises the Lord in the holy place, that is, Jerusalem. So these psalms seem to picture the journey from a faraway place to the house of the Lord. And so as we look then at Psalm 121, we see that the psalmist is on the way. He is beginning his pilgrimage. And as he walks, he looks up to the hills and he asks a question. From where does my help come? Who will guide me on this journey? Who will protect me from danger? Who will sustain me to keep walking? Fortunately, it seems as if he knows the answer, and he makes a wonderful confession. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Because the psalmist knows that his help comes from the Lord, he knows also that the Lord will keep him. And this is the truth he goes on to repeat throughout the psalm. The Lord is his keeper. And this is the truth that this psalm is telling us today. The pilgrimage to Jerusalem is a picture of the Christian life. This is the idea that John Bunyan picks up on his book, Pilgrim's Progress. Christian, who lives in the city of destruction, is warned by Evangelist that the city will be destroyed. He tells Christian to go to the celestial city, which is where the king dwells. And so Christian makes a difficult and dangerous journey to the celestial city. And this is the Christian life, isn't it? We were living in Meshech, in the city of destruction, in our sin. But now that we are saved, we walk this difficult and dangerous journey to Jerusalem, to the celestial city, to our eternal life in the dwelling place of God. And we walk this difficult and dangerous journey. As we walk this difficult and dangerous journey, we need to hold on to this promise. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will keep you. So let's walk through this psalm together. The psalmist begins by lifting his eyes to the hills, or to the mountains. Now the mountains could symbolize one of two things. On the one hand, they could symbolize a place of menace and danger. It's easy to slip and fall while climbing a mountain. There are many places for predators and bandits to hide. So the mountains could be a place of danger and of fear. On the other hand, they could symbolize a place of safety. Some commentators say that the psalmist is referencing the mountains that surround Jerusalem, which would have been a symbol of safety for the Israelites. So the psalmist looks to the mountains in fear, prompting him to search for the source that will help him overcome them. Or he looks to the mountains in hope, seeking help in them. Either way, the psalmist's help comes from something far beyond these mountains. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If the mountains pose a threat to him, he does not fear, because he knows that the God who created those very mountains helps him. If the mountains are a comforting sight to him, he rejoices in knowing that they are but a small picture of the Creator God, who helps him. So the psalmist looks, and he knows that whether in fear or in comfort, his help comes from the God who created the heavens and the earth. After the psalmist's declaration that his help comes from the Lord, he goes on to expound this truth in the rest of the psalm. And I want you to notice two things that happen between verses 2 and verse 3. Firstly, the psalmist shifts from speaking in the first person to speaking in the second person. Look back at verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now look at verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. So why does he do this? Some commentators have suggested that this was actually a psalm that was sung in groups. A person would sing the first two verses by themselves, and then sing the rest of the psalm to someone else. And this may very well be the case. However, I want to suggest another theory. That perhaps the psalmist is actually just singing to himself. As I said before, the rest of the psalm is an exposition of the truth that was declared in verse 2. Therefore, the psalmist could be explaining it to himself. Essentially, he's preaching to himself as he walks this journey. And the second thing I want you to notice is the repetition of the word keep. In other translations, it may be translated watch or preserve. The Hebrew word is shamar, and it means to keep, to guard, to watch over, to attend to carefully. The word is repeated at least 6 times in the psalm. And so from these 2 observations, I want to suggest that this psalmist is preaching this truth to himself as he is walking. And we see that the Lord will keep him at all times and in every circumstance. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord who keeps him never sleeps. God doesn't doze off. He never drops his gaze. He never falters. He is always watching, always vigilant. The same God who keeps all of Israel also keeps this psalmist. And the God who keeps both Israel collectively and this Israelite personally never sleeps. The Lord keeps him. The Lord is his shade in verse 5. This is a metaphor for God's protection. God protects him from the heat of the day and from the cold of the night. The Lord keeps him from getting sunstroke and from being moonstruck. The Lord keeps him during the day and all throughout the night. The Lord keeps him, in verse 7, from all the evil and wicked intent of man. God will keep him from the hands of the robbers and the bandits. The Lord keeps his life. The Lord will keep his going out and his coming in verse 8. God will keep him when he leaves for his journey, and God will keep him when he arrives at his destination. Furthermore, God will keep him along the way, and God will keep him through all his ventures from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will keep him. The Lord will keep him all the time and in every circumstance. It is not a complex and difficult truth to understand. The psalmist is simply repeating the simple truth that the Lord will keep him. And to you, dear Christian, this promise is the same. The Lord will keep you. He does not sleep. He does not doze off. He does not turn away from you for a moment. He keeps you when your faith is strong. He keeps you when your faith is weak. He does not turn away when you sin. He keeps you always. The Lord keeps you individually. The same God who watches over his whole church collectively is the same God who watches over you personally. He does not need to divide his attention. He keeps all his children equally and undividedly simultaneously. The Lord will keep you always in every minute of every day. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your protector. He keeps you during the day and he keeps you throughout the night. The Lord keeps you in your daily tasks and activities, and he keeps you when you sleep at night. The Lord keeps you even as you face the challenges of the day and when you fear the dangers of the night. When you go to sleep, anxious about the day past or the day coming, the Lord, who does not sleep and has no fears, keeps you. The Lord keeps you in the day when you are conscious and aware, and the Lord keeps you at night when you are unconscious and unaware. The Lord keeps you from evil. He keeps you from the wicked intent of evil men. The Lord keeps your life. The Lord keeps you from the temptations and the snares of the evil one. The Lord keeps you going out, and he keeps you coming in. When you leave for work in the morning, the Lord keeps you. When you come home in the evening, the Lord keeps you. While you are out, the Lord keeps you. He is there when you leave, he is there when you come home, and he is there with you while you are out. He keeps you now, and he will keep you forevermore. The Lord keeps you in all, through all, and forevermore. Hear this truth, dear Christian. The Lord will keep you. Now I want you to take notice of something. The psalmist says that the Lord will not let your foot be moved. He says the sun and moon will not strike you. He says the Lord will keep you from all evil. I hope you notice the dilemma there. The whole psalm seems to say that the Lord will keep you from all evil, from all harm, and from all danger. Is that true? Does the Lord keep us from all evil and all harm and all danger? No, he doesn't. Look at the example of Joseph from Genesis 37 onwards. How would Joseph sing this psalm? While he sits in the pit he was thrown into by his brothers, the Lord will keep you. As he is sold into slavery, the Lord will keep you from all evil. As he is unjustly accused by Potiphar's wife, the Lord will not let your foot be moved. How does Joseph sing this psalm? Or look at David. How does David sing this psalm? As he is running for his life from Saul, The Lord will keep you from all evil. As his family falls apart and his son wants to kill him, the Lord will keep you. How does he sing it? Look at the Apostle Paul. As he is beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, and imprisoned, the Lord will keep you. How does Paul sing this psalm? All three of these men answer that question. Joseph, after seeing his brothers in Egypt again, says in Genesis 50 verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." You see, he is saying that all the evil that men do to him, God uses ultimately for his good. David says in Psalm 139 verse 16, "In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." David recognizes God's sovereign decree that has established the path of his life before he was even born. Paul writes in Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Paul says that all things, not just good things, but all things, good and bad, work together for his ultimate good. You see, these three men would have had no trouble singing the psalm, even in the midst of their suffering. In fact, it is in the midst of suffering that the psalm rings most true. The point, dear Christian, that the psalm is making is not that God will keep you away from suffering and trials in the sense that you will never experience these. Rather, the point is that God will keep you in his sovereign will for your life. And the suffering and the trials that you face have been ordained by God for your good. They are there to shape you and mold you. They are there to strengthen your faith. James 1 verse 2 to 3 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." God keeps you in his sovereign will. In times of comfort, God keeps you. In times of sickness, God keeps you. In times of joy, God keeps you. In times of grief, God keeps you. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can take you out of God's will. No man, no woman, no devil, no sin, nothing can take you out of God's will. The Lord will keep you always. This is why Joseph could look at his brothers and say, "The evil you meant for me, God meant for good." David could take comfort in the truth that God had written the number of his days before he was even born. It's why Paul could proclaim that all things work together for our ultimate good. And Paul explains what that ultimate good is in the next two verses. Romans 8:29-30, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." For the Christian, when this life of suffering and hardship is over, when our Lord Jesus returns to fetch his bride, we will be transformed into new creatures, without sin, without pain, without sickness, living with our Lord Jesus for all eternity. This is the good for which you suffer and toil. And this is the good for which the Lord will keep you. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to take hold of this promise in your life. Just as the psalmist looks to God as his helper, so look to God as your helper. When you look up and see your worries, your fears, your anxieties, your trials, and your sufferings, do not fear. Look to God as your helper. When you look up and see your comforts, and those things that make you happy, do not find in them a source of help. Look to God as your helper. And how do we do this? Preach this promise to yourself, just as the psalmist preached it to himself. As you go through life and you face trials and suffering, remind yourself of this promise. When life is going well, preach this promise to yourself. The Lord will keep you. When you receive that terminal diagnosis, the Lord will keep you. When you are healthy, the Lord will keep you. When you lose your job, the Lord will keep you. When you get that promotion, the Lord will keep you. When your business goes south, the Lord will keep you. When you find yourself in financial strain and you don't know where your next meal will come from, the Lord will keep you. When you are doing well financially, the Lord will keep you. When you lose your spouse, your parent, your child, your closest friend, the Lord will keep you. When you are uncertain about your future, the Lord will keep you. When people mock you and insult you and marginalize you for your faith, the Lord will keep you. When you doubt your salvation, when you feel like you've messed it up, the Lord will keep you. When you sin and you feel guilty and ashamed, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will keep you. If you are listening to this and you are not a Christian, if you have not repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then this promise is not for you. The Lord will not keep you. Your life does not end in eternal glorification, but it ends in eternal damnation. I urge you, repent of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus. Submit to Him as your Lord and Savior. Don't look to your own pleasures, your own purposes, or your own desires, but look to Him as your helper. Then you too will walk under the promise that the Lord will keep you. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian faced many sufferings and trials on his way to the celestial city. He fell into the swampy waters of the Slough of Despond. He was led off the path by devious characters. He found himself facing off against Apollyon. He was locked up in the castle of Giant Despair, and much, much more. But through all of that, the Lord kept him, and he made it safely through the gates of the celestial city. This will be true of you, dear Christian. Through all of life's sufferings, through all of life's trials, temptations, and all of life's dangers, the Lord will keep you until you walk through the gates of His holy city and dwell with Him forevermore. The Lord will keep you. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, I thank You for this wonderful truth that You will keep us. Father, thank You that You are a sovereign God who has decreed all things before time even began. Thank You that You have set out our lives and written the numbers of our days. Lord, thank You that You guide us and that You lead us according to that will. And Lord, that You will keep us in that will and that we will never be taken away from it. Father, I pray that as we go out our separate ways into the week, Lord, that we will remember this promise. Father, when we are going through trials and tribulations, Father, I pray that we will remember that the Lord will keep us. When things are going well, and we may forget about You, Lord, I pray that we would preach this to ourselves. The Lord will keep us. So, Father, be with us and have Your hand over us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.